Taken together, the reptilian brain and limbic system make up what I'll call the emotional brain throughout this book. The emotional brain is at the heart of the central nervous system, and its key task is to look out for your welfare. If it detects danger or a special opportunity, such as a promising partner, it alerts you by releasing a squirt of hormones. The resulting visceral sensations, ranging from mild queasiness to the grip of panic in your chest, will interfere with whatever your mind is currently focused on and get you moving, physically and mentally, in a different direction. Even at their most subtle, these sensations have a huge influence on the small and large decisions we make throughout our lives: what we choose to eat, where we like to sleep and with whom, what music we prefer, whether we like to garden or sing in a choir, and whom we befriend and whom we detest. The emotional brain's cellular organization and biochemistry are simpler than those of the neocortex, our rational brain, and it assesses incoming information in a more global way. As a result, it jumps to conclusions based on rough similarities, in contrast with the rational brain, which is organized to sort through a complex set of options. The textbook example is leaping back in terror when you see a snake, only to realize that it's just a coiled rope. The emotional brain initiates pre-programmed escape plans, like the fight or flight responses. These muscular and physiological reactions are automatic, set in motion without any thought or planning on our part, leaving our conscious, rational capacities to catch up later, often well after the threat is over. Finally, we reach the top layer of the brain, the neocortex. We share this outer layer with other mammals, but it is much thicker in us humans. In the second year of life, the frontal lobes, which make up the bulk of our neocortex, begin to develop at a rapid pace. The ancient philosophers called 7 years the age of reason. For us, first grade is the prelude of things to come, a life organized around frontal lobe capacities. Sitting still, keeping sphincters in check, being able to use words rather than acting out, understanding abstract and symbolic ideas, planning for tomorrow, and being in tune with teachers and classmates. The frontal lobes are responsible for the qualities that make us unique within the animal kingdom. They enable us to use language and abstract thought. They give us our ability to absorb and integrate vast amounts of information and attach meaning to it. Despite our excitement about the linguistic feats of chimpanzees and rhesus monkeys, only human beings command the words and symbols necessary to create the communal, spiritual, and historical contexts that shape our lives.